If you'll turn your Bibles with me to Mark chapter 14 this morning. Saints of God, I want you to be sensitive this morning. God wants to do something here. And God works through His people. Okay? If things are going to get done in your life and your mission field, it's going to be because you allow God to use you. And you're here today. And there are needs in this place. Let's be sensitive. Mark 14, verse 3 through 8. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard and very precious. And she broke the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. Have you done a good work on the Lord? This woman gave, folks. For ye have the poor with you always. And whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Lord, we love you today. And Lord, touch us and speak to us. Lord, anoint your servant right now, Lord, in Jesus' name. God, I want to see your will be done in this place. I feel your presence in this house, God. And I thank you for what I feel right now. Lord, just touch every heart. Lord, and I pray, Lord, that you'll help them to hear your word. And not only hear, but apply. In the name of Jesus. Amen. You can be seated. I want to speak to you. It's time to break the box. It's time to break the box. What God desires, folks, more than anything else from us, is total commitment. You believe that this morning? God doesn't want just part of you. He wants all of you. Amen? The Bible tells us that He's a jealous God. And if you have anything else, if you put anything else before God, that is a God in His eyes. And He is jealous. So not partial involvement, not conditional service, not situational commitment, but what God desires is someone who will leave everything else behind to serve Him with their whole hearts. Let me tell you something, folks. You cannot live for God partially. Come on. Then you're not living for God. Amen. God wants all of you today. He wants all of your commitment. He doesn't want you to put anything else. And listen here, there's been people that have been hurt in situations in churches and on and on and on. But folks, let me tell you something. God has a church that is going forward and He wants you to be a part of it. I know people that have been hurt, and I don't know why this is coming about this morning. I'm just feeling the Lord. There's been people that have been hurt in the church realm. And they're holding resentment and things like that. Let me tell you, every family has somebody that they're kind of embarrassed of. Come on. When you talk about that person, oh Lord Jesus. That's that, you know, they call them skeletons in the closet. That kind of stuff. Come on, let's be truthful here this morning. But does that make your whole family bad? No, it doesn't. And it's the same way in the church world. It's because you may have been somewhere and you may have been hurt and you may have been done wrong and something may have been said to you that wasn't good and something you didn't expect to come out of a pastor's mouth or whatever it may be here this morning. Not all of them are that way. Come on. And so you can't use that excuse to not get involved. You can't use that excuse not to do certain things because God has a church, folks, and it's going to go on. And you weren't serving God because of a pastor, I hope. You weren't serving Him because of this or that. You need to serve God because of who He is. Have a relationship with God yourself. I've had things. I've been raised in this, folks. My dad took me to church when I was like 4 or 5 years old. And I've been in this all my life. And I've seen good and I've seen bad. But God is always good. And I don't serve God because of somebody else. I serve Him because I love Him. And I want a relationship with Him. And it doesn't matter what anybody else does. I'm going to serve God. Amen? I'm going to serve Him. So I can't do partial involvement. I can't have conditions on my serving God or situational commitments. Amen. But what God desires is someone who will leave everything and say, it doesn't matter what this one does or that one does or my family member or mom and dad. I'm going to serve God no matter what. You see, God is not necessarily looking for people who simply keep laws, who simply keep standards and live exemplary lives, but He values commitment. Now don't get me wrong, those things are important because God called us out of a world to be separate. And every relationship, there's stipulations and things, there's certain things that somebody doesn't like. And there are things that people do like, and you better be concerned about those things, or you're going to have a rough relationship. And God asks certain things of us. So I'm not diminishing any of that, but you cannot just think, just because you're a lady and I wear my skirts long and I do this and I do that, and men, you don't do certain things, that I'm all right with God. You better be committed in every area of your heart. Not just in certain standards, so you look the part. That's what I'm talking about this morning. Because you can look apostolic from head to toe and be very sinful just by your thought process. Oh, get quiet on me in here. Come on. Hey, the Pharisees and stuff, they looked the part. God called them snakes. Vipers. Come on. Whited sepulchers. They looked the part though, folks. They stood on the corner and did their thing. We can look Pentecostal all day long and not make it to heaven. So He's not necessarily looking for that, but that is good. But you better have it all in line. God values commitment over holiness. Because see, if you're committed, you'll be holy. Commitment over talent, because if you're committed to Him, He'll use your talents. He'll give you more. Commitment over perfection. Commitment is the acid test as to whether we will be pleasing in God's eyes. Let me give you an example. In Matthew 19, 16 through 22, and behold, one came and said unto Him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And He said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, which, and Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? See, he thought he was there, folks. Well, I've done all that. So what do I lack? Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor. Thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Here's a man who kept the law, was morally pure from his youth up, yet he lacked the commitment to abandon everything the world had to offer and to just follow Jesus. You see, folks, he showed the Lord right there who was his God. And his lack of commitment cost him, folks, listen, it cost him an opportunity to follow Jesus. Now, I would submit to you that before we can truly follow Jesus, we must completely separate ourselves from the old life and its pleasures. Now, someone once said, you can't steal second with your foot on first. Amen? When that ball player makes that commitment to steal second, he better be committed. Right? Because we as fans won't like it. You know, if he starts to take off, you know, we're rooting for our team to win. He starts to take off. He gets halfway and says, oh, no, I better not, and gets out. What would be all over the news? Idiot tries to steal second. We can be hard on them, can't we? But in life, folks, we better make a decision to be sold out to God. We can't have the best of both worlds. We can't have our cake and eat it too. Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. See, but many people try to walk the fence. They try to maintain the connection with their past, with the world, with the pleasure of sin. And they still try, I better go to church today. I haven't been there in a bit. Come on. You know what I'm talking about? It's not going to work. You see, folks, Jesus knows the heart. You may fool some people, but he knows your heart. James 1:8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Think about that. And so I would submit to you today as the premise, the foundation, the building block of this message here. More than anything, folks, God desires our unequivocal, reckless, and total commitment to him. Now you say, Pastor, I've separated myself from the world in my actions, and I've separated myself in my dress, and I've separated myself in my conversation, and on and on and on. You can go on and on. Isn't that good enough, Pastor? No, it's not enough to be separated from the world. We must be separated unto the gospel. Abraham was called out of Ur. He was called out of Ur into go to Canaan. But he stopped in Haran. And he stayed there until his father died. See, he was out of Ur, but he was not in Canaan. See what I'm saying today? He was called to Canaan. Go to Canaan. Well, on my way, I'm going to stop here in Ur. But you're not in Canaan. God said, go to Canaan. Romans 1:1 says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated. How was he separated? Unto the gospel of God. You see, our good works will not please God because he said that our righteousness is as filthy rags. Listen, God wants that stuff out of you, folks, but you can't just count on that as your get out of jail free card. He says, look, your righteousness to me, that's just his filthy rags. I want you sold out into the gospel. When we withhold nothing from him, when we let nothing stand in our way, when we put nothing above Jesus, that is when he is pleased. Well, you know, folks, let me tell you, it can be your job. It can be your way, your lifestyle. You know, you got to have this or you got to have that. And you can look the part, but you're putting something before God. So in our text, we find that the beautiful story of the woman who we believe to be Mary, the sister of Martha, in Mark 14, verse 3, said, "And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, and there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, a very precious, and she broke the box and poured it on his head." Luke says it this way, Luke 7:37, "And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment." Stay with me here this morning. I'm getting somewhere here today. Now, folks, we carry our box all the time. The book of John contains an account very similar to this one. And he specifically names Mary, the sister of Martha. Now, you remember that story of the sister Mary and Martha. Martha's scurrying around doing all this stuff to take care of Jesus. Where's Mary? Speak up. At his feet. See, John, he contains this account very similar to this one. He names Mary. It's Martha's sister. The sitting is the house of Lazarus after he has been raised from the dead. And the events, that dialogue, the comments by Judah are all the same. So I'm not going to argue whether this is the same account or not. Okay? It doesn't matter. But what really matters is the attitude with which the nameless woman approaches Jesus. What's his attitude? I want you to notice things about the setting. Jesus is sitting in the house of Simon the leper. Some think this is the leper that Jesus had healed. Luke's account just calls him a Pharisee. And if this is true, if this is the leper that Jesus healed, he has a double reason to be thankful to Jesus. Jesus had already made the statement that he didn't come to minister to the Pharisees, but yet he transcends the hypocrisy of this man's position to minister to his needs. Now, this is a pure speculation, and it won't hold this to be gospel. I don't know it. It really doesn't matter. What I do know is that Jesus is in the house of a friend. A friend who has much to be thankful for, so he invites Jesus. And he invites the disciples to come to his house for dinner. What wants to make sure the food is just right. Wants to make sure the setting is very comfortable and everything that Mary would do, I'm sure, had already been done when Jesus arrived. This man who owned so much, he owed so much to Jesus. He went to great trouble and great expense to show Jesus his appreciation. But in the midst of this supper, enters a lady who has so much to be thankful for that, folks, she couldn't even hardly speak. Words failed her. Luke said that she just stood at his feet weeping. Picture this with me today. She walks in. She's got this box of ointment in her hand and she walks up to Jesus and she just stands there and looks at him and looks at his eyes and starts weeping. So overcome with emotion, and she's overcome with what Jesus had done for her, that she can't even speak. She could only weep. Picture it with me today. And in the midst of this setting, Mary breaks this precious alabaster box filled with precious ointment. Folks, what that ointment that could have represented her life savings. And what does she do with it? She pours it on the head of Jesus. While others are in the room, gave some. Okay? They gave some. They were appreciative of Jesus. This woman gave all. Now, there are five reasons why Mary's worship is so indicative, folks, of what God desires from us. So according to what estimates you believe, this box of spikenard, this box of ointment or perfume may have been worth up to 300 denarii. And if you consider a denarius a day's wage, this could be almost a year's worth of wages. The box, a vase, was probably a family heirloom handed down through the generations. But when Mary came, she didn't stop along the way at Walmart's or Walgreens and grab a bottle of Aquavelva. She brought her best. She didn't give Jesus the leftovers. She gave Jesus her best. She didn't give him the energy left over after she filled her own desire. She gave him the best that she had. She didn't hold anything back. But she brought everything that was of value, that was of importance to her. And she laid it at Jesus' feet. Folks, I pray today that God give us the zeal for Christ that Mary had when she gave everything she had, she put it at His feet. Give us, Lord, give us the zeal that Paul had when he said in Philippians 3, 7 and 8, but what things were gained to me, those I counted for loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do not count them but dung, that I may win Christ. I will give everything away. I will give my life, my dreams, my goals, my aspirations, my ideas, my desires. I'll give them to Him just so I can be near Him. See, Mary, folks, she came to be a blessing. Did you come here today to be a blessing? She didn't come to ask anything of Jesus. She didn't come to receive, she came to give. And folks, oftentimes we ask the Lord, Lord, bless us. But 14 times in the Psalms, David instructs us to bless the Lord. Come on. He says, come and bless the Lord. Did you come to bless the Lord today? Psalms 34, 1, I will bless the Lord when? At all times, amen. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. You see, the difference between Mary and everyone else there at that dinner was simply this. Everyone else came to receive something. They came to eat. But Mary is the only one the Bible records that didn't come to eat. She came after the meal was over. And they were sitting there conversing. She didn't come to receive. She came to give. Mary had a singleness of heart. She came only to see one person. She didn't come to see Simon and Peter. She didn't come to see John and all the other disciples. She didn't come to see them. She wasn't deterred by the criticisms of the bystanders there saying, what is she doing? Why is she doing that? That didn't bother her. She didn't come to look at the house and say, oh man, I love your curtains. Where'd you get them at? And where did you get that couch? And she came to hear Jesus. She didn't come to hear the favorite preacher, or she didn't decide to stay home because the favorite preacher wasn't there. It didn't matter, folks, who else was in the house. She came only for Jesus. Come on. Why are you here today? Isn't it frustrating? It's frustrating, the excuses people give when they decide to leave a church or transfer churches or memberships or something. It's very frustrating at times, isn't it? Mary came, see, I ain't worried about none of that stuff. I'm here to see Jesus. Come on. I'm here to see Jesus. From the music, she didn't care who's playing. She didn't care about the color of the carpet. She didn't care about her personal preferences. Well, if it's not the way I like it, I refuse to support it. Makes you wonder. But listen, how long has it been since we just came to this house to worship Jesus? How long has it been? I'm just coming here today, Pat. I don't care about anything else. I'm just going to worship the Lord. I'm going to get with it. What is our purpose for coming to church? Is it to hear the music, or is it just because some of our friends are here? We need to get back to the single purpose of coming to church, and that is to worship Jesus. Amen? Listen, all that other stuff is added bonus, folks. But we need to come for the one purpose, and that is to worship our God. Preacher may not be my favorite. That's not why I'm here. The music may not, may be a little too fast or maybe a little too slow for some, but that's not why I'm here. People may not be as friendly as I think they ought to be, but that's not why I'm here. I'm here for one reason, and that is to worship my God. I'm here to praise Him, amen? And I'm here to do my part in making it the best place to worship God. You see, Mary's worship was spontaneous. She didn't wait for the Spirit to move her. Walk in the house, just walk around carrying her box. Oh, Spirit, move right now. Somebody needs to worship God so I can get into it. She didn't do that. How often we walk into church, folks, we wait for somebody else to get down and start getting worshiping God. Then I'll join in. She walked in with intent. I've often said it, folks, we need to come with the intent. God, I'm coming to worship you tonight. And Lord, lay somebody on my heart so that I can be a blessing to them. But too often we're like, oh God, I'm here, I'm needy. You think God doesn't see your needs? But God wants us to give. He says it's better to give than to what? Oh really, we believe that? All right. I'm in the right church. Huh? It's easy to say it though sometimes. Huh? Come on. I was just talking to somebody the other day. You know, about Christmas cards and all that kind of stuff. Somebody was sending this person Christmas cards, and they just didn't get them sent back out. You know, they didn't buy them, didn't have the money to buy them, and all of a sudden, no more Christmas cards. Found out, you ain't going to get a Christmas card from me because you don't give me any. Is that why? No, it's better to give than receive. God sees. God sees. That's all that matters, folks. See, she didn't wait for the choir to get pumped up. Come on, get it, sis, get it. Come on. Let's be honest. Sometimes we need that music to get us pumped up. We should be able to just walk in here, folks, music or no music. In fact, I might walk in here some night and say, all of you go sit in the pew. Then what are you going to do? Come on. We can get down in this church, folks. That's good. I love it. That ain't why we're here. It's not just the music. We should be able to worship Him, music or no music. Come on. Listen, she walked in and without apology began to worship God when no one else was worshiping. And I will tell you what is going to bring about revival in this church is when all of us begin to worship God spontaneously. when no one else has to tell us. Come on, everybody, clap your hands. When no one else has to tell us, come on, everybody, raise your hands and worship God. When nobody else has to tell us to raise our voices unto the Lord. When nobody has to say, come on, lift our hands and praise to God. When we begin to worship God spontaneously, folks, God is going to bless us tremendously. See, I shouldn't have to come on and say, come on, folks, let God bless you here. Get out of your pews. Go be a blessing to somebody. I shouldn't have to tell you that. Some of you have your claw prints right in the back of the pew. You got your spot marked. I'm talking about coming in here, worshiping God, your mind made up. I don't care what happens tonight. I'm coming into church. I'm going to worship Him. I'm going to praise Him. I'm going to minister to somebody in this house tonight. I want God to use me. Do you want God to use you? How many want God to use your pastor? You want God to speak through your pastor to you? I want you to bless others. And you'll bless your pastor when you get out and let God use you. Come on. This is what I've taught, folks. And I've been noticing lately it's getting less and less of everybody getting out of the pews, and I don't like it. Come on. Whose church is it? Is it you, our church or my church? There you go. Then you have a part also. See, Mary didn't wait on Peter to say, okay, Mary, go bless Jesus. Peter was there. They were all there. All the disciples were there. She walked in and said, let's have church. God, you've blessed me so much. God, I don't deserve you. God, but I thank you. And I'm here tonight to worship you. I'm here to praise you. Come on, I spoke last week the difference in praise and worship. Hallelujah. It's praise and worshiping. God is worshiping Him when things are going bad in your life. When you're sick, you worship God anyways. When the money's not there, you worship God anyways. How many here today are glad that you're able to sit in an apostolic church and praise God with everything within you? Come on. We're so blessed, folks. And she come in and stood at His feet, began to weep. See, folks, God is here. You see, she didn't wait on all these things. She didn't wait on somebody to say, clap your hands and raise your hands. She didn't wait when it's just something that overwhelms us and we spontaneously begin to pour out our hearts to God. Folks, that's when God says, I'm going to bless that. And finally, this is what I really want to focus on here today. Mary worshiped without reservation. If you don't hear anything else I said today, listen to me. I said, Mary worshiped without reservation. See, what do you mean, Pastor? This precious box represented her life's wealth. It represented the things in life that she thought were of value before she met Jesus. You see what I'm saying? There's things, folks, before we came to the Lord that was we valued. To some, it may be very little. Come on. Let me explain something. When I worked in a dealership, I worked in a couple of different dealerships. And one of my jobs was to go out and drive these cars in for the mechanics sometimes. Some of them, maybe not even a year old. But I thought I was climbing into a pig pen. Dink, dirty diapers, half McDonald's burgers. I mean, you name it, I saw it all. Did they really value that car? It amazes me at some things that I see people get rid of because it's of no value. I've seen couches sit out on lawn, shredded. Probably because of an animal. Which, if an animal did that to my furniture, it wouldn't be able to stand up for a while. Okay? You see, it's what you value. But no matter any of that stuff, whether it's your car, there's something. I don't know. I'm not going to put it. You can have a name for it, whatever it is, that everybody has some type of value. It may be just the drugs. I don't know. But they value something. And here this woman walks in with her box, her life's value. She had this before she even met Jesus. You see what I'm saying? It was her life's wealth. It represented the things in life that she thought were of value. It was probably a family heirloom. Maybe it represented her past, her pedigree. Maybe it represented her savings or her dreams or her goals, her ideas of what was truly important in her life. You follow me? And notice that she didn't just gently open the box and pour out the perfume. Do you notice that in the scripture reading? No, folks, the Bible says she broke the box. She broke it. She didn't just gently open it. She broke it. You know what she done, folks? She removed all possibility, all opportunity to pour it out now and refill it later. Come on, let me tell you what I'm talking about, folks. She came to Jesus and she said, God, I love you so much, Jesus, that I'm going to break this thing, that this thing that I think of such value so that I can't pick it up later. I think the problem sometimes with so many of us is we walk in here with our box and we pour it out a little bit at a time on Jesus so that we can take it back home with us and set it wherever we set it and keep putting our values stuff back in it. See, we want to bless Jesus. We want to be that Christian. We're going to pour a little bit out on Him. But yet we got this box of values. We're not truly committed. We're not truly trusting Jesus. See, Mary walked in and she said, you know what? This is valuable to me, but you're more valuable. God, you said to seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these other things that I value, He'll give them to me. Too often, we've got to take care of ourselves. Why? Nobody else is going to do it. That's true. Nobody's going to take care of you like you. Jesus can do better. The question is, do you trust Him to do better for you? Mary said, hey, this is valuable to me, but Jesus, you can take care of me better than I can. See, even though she had things that she valued in life, folks, the Lord picked her up somewhere where she was in a bad shape. And so often, even though we value certain things, we make a mess of our lives. Come on. I love you so much, Jesus. Jesus, I trust you so much that I'm just going to break this thing and I'm going to trust you and I'm going to put my value in you. Stand here today. I want to challenge us here today. Some of us need to break some boxes. We come to worship, but we hold on to that box that contains our dreams. We come to worship, But we hold on to those goals. We come to worship God, but we hold on to those desires or those material possessions. We come to worship, but we hold on. You put the word in. I'm asking you today, what are you holding on to? What's holding you back from selling out to God? Why are you not breaking the box? See, we don't mind pouring it out once in a while, but we still take the box back home and we refill it again. See, you know what God is looking for? People who will love Him so much that they will break their alabaster box and anoint His feet with their concerns. Anoint His feet with your contents of your box. Anoint His feet with your dreams. Anoint His feet with your desires. Come on. What's in your box today? Jesus, I lay all of my ideas. I lay all of my goals. I lay all of my desires and my dreams. I lay them at your feet, God. And furthermore, I'm going to break the box so I can't fill them again. Because I'm going to trust in you to help me. See, God is looking for people who will not only be involved, but He's looking for who will not only follow the loaves and the fishes. He's looking for people who will worship Him with their whole hearts. How many will come up here today and break your box? Come on, this altar's open. Bring your box to Him. Come on. God, here's my dreams. Here's my hopes. Here's my desires. Here they are, God. I don't want to take this box back home. Come on, worship the Lord with me.